6, it is time for Tiger Time. And that means Mark Shepard filling in for Scott. Did you let Scott off for the summer?
We did. Just for today. Not for the summer.
Okay, just for today. Yep. So Mark Shepard kind of filling in for Scott Jensen. We'll see how you do. We'll rate it at the end.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, maybe I'll have a new career.
Welcome, as always, as we continue on with Tiger Time here, even though school is out. Still some activities going on.
A lot of things going on right now. Driving across town this morning, just so many students out engaged in activities. I saw, as usual, our runners out running, because that's what they do. And, just so many different things going on. As you drive around the community, we just encourage people to be careful and pay attention. There's a lot of things going on. But we got a couple of people in here today that are going to give us an update on some fun activities and some learning activities that are happening over the summer. I think a lot of people think we just kind of shut down for the summer. We actually ramp up for the summer. And I know Dr. Dahl is really engaged right now in the budgeting process and working through that, which kind of culminates at the end of summer. Middle of September, we have to adopt our budget. So he's working on that right now along with the business office. We have summer school that started. We have so many different construction projects that are underway. And then Kevin Earlywine is going to give us an update on the foundation and some of their fun activities, and in particular, a golf outing that's coming up. So we'll start out with Diane.
Yeah, Diane Beninato, principal of Linden Elementary. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to have you here. Thank you.
Summer school is in full swing, right?
Yes, we kicked off a lot of activities yesterday. We have our Summer Success Academy, 240 students receiving extra support in reading and math, and that programming, along with our English language learners. We have 50 students in that programming, all out at Claremar Elementary. So I was over there yesterday morning welcoming students back, and they were excited as well. Summer Fun, that supports our special education students with learning experiences. We have 48 students experiencing that over at Grant Elementary. And then Camp Invention, which is a program that we partner with. They come in and they are providing, that's an enrichment program for our high ability learners out at the middle school. So that is an all-day program for our high ability learners. So supporting students at all different levels and across the town.
As you look at the numbers, I know we're coming off of COVID and such. Are they higher or lower or about the same?
Well, our ESSER's funds are down, and Kevin could even speak a little bit to that. So they're a little lower this reason, but not, it's because of some construction and then some funding that is down. But we hope that will increase later. It's just kind of the year that it is because of the construction that's happening, as well as some of the funds that have been decreased.
Yeah, we had to reduce the offerings a little bit. We only are doing kindergarten through third grade for the Summer Success Academy. Typically, we go through fourth grade, but we did have, as Diane mentioned, a reduction in some Title I dollars as well as ESSER federal dollars. Those were eliminated, and so we reduced some of the target groups for that. And as Diane mentioned, we have construction going on everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had to really focus on just a couple of buildings to hold programming. So that was another reason our numbers are a little bit down, but not much. They're a little bit down.
On the teacher side of summer school, about how many teachers do you any idea about how many are involved in helping out with summer school?
We've got about 10 over at Summer Success Academy, maybe 12. And then we've got, I know we have 12, and then we've got 6 paras over there. They kind of split their time between the rooms. Summer Fun, I think they have 4 teachers on staff over there along with support staff. Hal, I think they have 3 or 4 teachers there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Those hardcore teachers want to keep going. No, I'm just
kidding. And I was going to say, Chris, Mark had mentioned ramping back up, and teachers are as well. They have been in, they're doing curriculum revision in all sorts of subject areas. There's professional training, PBIS, work days together for teams as well as trainings in Lincoln. And so, yeah, we don't just sit during the summer. We ramp up as well as teachers too, and our students as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was thinking school board meetings too, probably are a little more involved in the summer because you're thinking about fall and trying to get things set up.
A lot of different things going on. As far as with the school board, we obviously, as you mentioned, prep for next year. We have a number of statutory requirements. This upcoming school board meeting, for example, we have several hearings that are required, our Student Fee Act hearing, our Parent Involvement Committee hearing, just, you know, some activities that we have to undertake. And then when we get into August and September, we'll have all the hearings related to the budget and setting the tax levy. And, you know, we're kind of waiting. We got a preliminary estimate earlier in the week that we're kind of digesting right now in regard to what's going to happen with state aid, because there's a big shift that's occurring. And, you know, the challenge will be how much of that can really be passed on to the taxpayers, because we have to keep everything in balance, and we have to look at it from the standpoint of our expenditures continue to increase. The state portion of the revenue is going to increase, but that doesn't necessarily mean that our overall revenue is going to increase. So we've got to look at all aspects of it.
Leave that to Brad Dahl.
We'll leave that to Brad Dahl. Yep, that's exactly right. Gives him something to do this summer.
That's right. That's right. Diane, I know over at Linden, as far as do you have construction going on?
It's just starting. Yep, they're going to. Yeah, they've got the setup ready to go, and they haven't officially like put the ropes up yet, but I just met with Jeff Glosser yesterday on how we're going to be affected next year so I can rework some procedures and routines, but it's going to get started. So it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, want to give us a bond update?
Absolutely. So many different projects that are under construction right now. The first one that I'll mention is coming to a close, and that's the Lenahan project. That's an indoor air quality project funded with the federal funds. That one, they're going to start punch lists yet this week. And so they'll turn that project back over to us, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll get to move back in. We'll recapture then our big meeting room that we have that used to be a cafeteria at the old middle school complex downtown in our building. Johnson Crossing is one of the newest projects that's just commenced. And if you drive by Johnson Crossing on the east side, you can see where they've taken out some concrete now. They'll begin over in the fifth grade pod, and then they'll move over to the sixth grade pod. That's an additional classroom spaces. If you drive by the high school, it's kind of being attacked on three sides right now. We've got all the work going on out in the football stadium, getting that turf ready so that it'll be ready for fall sports. You get over to the northeast corner. As we had mentioned so many times, that when you use tilt-up concrete construction, all of a sudden one day you drive by and there's nothing there. The next day you drive by and there's a building.
Yeah, that's
kind of where we're at. And not quite that quick, but very quick. Very impressive how they set those huge pieces of concrete. And they just go right from the truck right up to where they're going to be permanently located. And they're setting the roof trusses right now. Inside the building, there's a lot of activity happening. The old steam boilers have been removed. So, you know, the building will be running on the new system as we open this fall and next winter. And they'll just keep working their way around the building. But a lot of internal activity at the high school. You go by the three elementaries that are under construction. Howard, you know, is the furthest along. It was the first one to break ground. As you drive by Howard, you drive over to Washington. You can see about a month behind where Washington is. And then when you drive over by just, you know, straight south of Sonic, the Deer Point Elementary is really starting to, it'll start popping out of the ground as well. They've got a lot of footings going on there. You know, we've mentioned on this show so many times all the local contractors we have involved, and we're so appreciative of that. It's good for our community. It's good for our contractors. They have a lot of pride in our schools, a lot of pride in our community, and we're getting some really good results out of that.
I bet you're seeing some pretty good communication there too, then. It's nice to have that, isn't it?
A lot of communication, and the good thing is kind of the, you know, after the projects are done, we know that we'll have good support from our local construction community.
The only thing I can think of that you didn't mention, Milliken, but then also, we keep hearing that the gerbil run's coming down during John C. Fremont days.
Yeah, so. That's not happening. We actually, that rumor's gone around more than once.
I know, yeah.
We actually have a bid opening this afternoon where we'll be looking at the portion of the gerbil run that's over the old industrial tech section of the building.
Okay.
So as part of that Lenahan addition, we have several of our special ed programs in that building, as well as the Learning Center, our alternative high school. And so the portion that's over the top of the building will be coming down. The bid opening's today at 2:00, and then we hope to bring a successful bidder to the board on Monday night as part of board action so that we can commence that part of it. We're working with the city, as the city reclaimed or the ownership of Broad Street came back to the city.
Yep.
The city's going to be looking at a project that's going to be north of our building over to 23rd Street on Broad Street, resurfacing and getting that back in shape. As I understand it, when the state reverts that property back to you, they have to give it back to you in a good condition. So they've provided the funding for the city to be able to, design that, let bids, and do an overlay. And so we've talked with Justin Zetterman and the mayor about, when is the best time? Obviously, John C. Fremont days would not be a good time.
No, that would not be.
To take down the gerbil run over Broad Street. But it would make sense that while they have a portion of Broad Street closed already, and people are altering their direction, to get in there and get that done. So it'll be, we're going to try to coordinate that with the city and coincide with their timeline. But just a lot of different projects going on. You mentioned Milliken Park. That one continues to, do very well and get finished up. Most of the walls that are going to be built are now up, and they turned that project back over to us about mid-April, and that worked really well to finish up the school year. And just a lot of exciting things happening all over our community.
Yeah, plenty going on there, that's for sure. As we move into Kevin here, Mr. Earlywine.
Hey.
Yeah, we have the foundation.
Yeah.
Doing all kinds of things this summer, don't you?
Well, I keep thinking there's going to be a downtime. There's going to be a little bit of a breather. But they're between the work with the foundation and then the work with the schools, it just keeps rolling, So we've had a number of activities, number of foundation nights with different businesses around the community. And I've had a chance to visit with Brian Fox, who is the owner-operator of Cornhusker Auto and Cornhusker Express Lube. And he said he really wants to support the foundation. So he said, let's try something a little bit different. So what he's going to do is for an entire week, he is going to give the Fremont Public School Foundation 20% of their income from both those locations.
Oh, wow.
For an entire week. So that's every car wash. At the auto wash and at the express lube, all the lube jobs. And if you get a membership at the auto wash, one of their monthly memberships, they're going to match that dollar for dollar. So I don't know what those cost, like $45, $42, something like that. Uh-huh. So they'll match that.
Yeah, I think they're like $25.
Yeah, $25. Okay.
No. Yeah. If you're paying $45, Kevin, you're paying a little too
much. Well, I'm hoping he'll match the $42 if I say that. So that's really fantastic. We have that going on. That's going to be June 11th through the 17th.
So Sunday all the way to the next Saturday.
Good deal. So we really want to get out there. They'll have stuff on their signs, and they're going to be giving flyers out about the foundation for us. So great partnership with Brian. He's been involved with public school systems for a long time, helping them out. And he is excited about being in Fremont and excited about helping out the public schools through the foundation. So neat stuff coming up. And all the money... A reminder about this, all the money that we raise during our 20th anniversary activities goes toward helping to equip the new CTE center out at the high school. So we're hoping we've got an opportunity. If we can get $20,000 raised, we have We have a group of people who have told us that if you get to 20,000, we'll match you.
Nice.
So we can put $40,000 toward equipping that CTE center, which would be kind of nice for the foundation to do to help out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then in July, you've got the Jim Ebers Golf Classic.
Right. No, we're always the Monday right after John C. Fremont Days. Mm-hmm. John C. Fremont Days is a little bit later this year. And so we're that 17th, Monday, the 17th of July, 1 p.m. start, 12 o'clock sign up registration. It's a 4-person scramble and $135, $95 for golf members out at the club. We're at the club. And so that comes with all kinds of you know, you get 18 holes of golf, you get a cart, you can get drink tickets. We'll feed you dinner that night. We have pin prizes and brats at between hole 1 and 10. Yeah, between hole 1 and 10. So we have lots of great stuff going on, and we really hope people get out there. We're trying something new this year. We've set records the last couple of years with our involvement, so we're going to take advantage of that and hopefully expand on that. We're having people register online.
Okay.
And so we've got it out on Facebook and Twitter. We've sent flyers out. Chambers doing a blast for us. And I think we've got some little posters around, too. We'll put some out at the golf club. You've got some mm-hmm. here. We're notifying those players who've been there in the past, letting them know about it, letting them register online. And we've got our sponsors already sending a sponsorship opportunity, sending in some money for sponsorship things. So we're excited. We're going to have a really good year this year. We have to limit it to 36.
We have to limit 36
teams. And they like to stay around 30 at the golf club, but if we can get 36, we'll take them.
Oh, yeah. That's July 17th. That'll be a 1 o'clock tee time. But for more information, just go to, can you go to the website too and find it there?
Yep. They can go there. They can call us. They can email me. And this event is also something that we're going to dedicate all of the money that we raise as profit from this event to equipping the CTE Center.
Very good. That's the 20th annual. Man, it doesn't seem like it's been 20 years.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And that was something that, you know, David Pinkall started, and the last few years, about the last 6-7 years, we've named it after Jim Ebers. And so hopefully we'll see Sherry out there again. She was out there to kick it off a couple years ago. Hopefully we can get her out there for the 20th.
Yeah. Well, it made me think of Bill Fitzgerald passing away last week, and I don't know if you had it was your athletic director.
Just a huge loss for our community, really for our state. Bill, after his retirement in 2017, really took a leadership role with the NIAAA, the Activities Association, and the Athletic Directors Association, and just a tragic loss. Very sudden, very unexpected, and Bill will be missed, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Yeah, for sure.